flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will say, just hearing the voice God right now, it is hard to believe this is my last hour at the Infinity Sports Network. It is true. I know the word was out over the weekend. I got so many messages from you all. Your encouragement, your kind words, your support at times caused me to tear up. It's not often that we get to hear about our impact as members of the media, whether TV, radio, podcast. And in making this decision to move on, and it is my decision, it was one that took a lot of thought, a lot of prayers, a lot of conversations with people that are close to me, family, friends, people that I trust. It's a decision that was a long time coming, so please don't feel like this was some spur-of-the-moment thing. I chose not to share it before Friday because I didn't want my final 6 weeks on the network and on After Hours to be about me. I really wanted it to be about the show and about the product that we've put together over the last 12 years. But the journey is taking a different turn. I'm ready for something new, and I'm at peace with my decision. I'm happy with my decision. I'm excited about a new adventure, both personally and professionally. But all of your messages, they were emotional for me, and I do very much appreciate how you all have been part of this journey and how we've seen the audience grow. Yes, but more than that, friendships and connections made and established. And to me, that is the unique quality, the unique nature of radio, is that it's personal in a way that no other medium is. I will continue to have my social media outlets. So they might change their names, but for now, at least I'll have Twix at A-Law Radio. That won't change. That's my personal account. And then also our Facebook page, my blog, for those of you who are asking any news, you'll be the first to know. When I have something to share, you'll be the first to know. And so if that's how, if you would like to keep in touch with me that way, there are a bunch of different ways that you can do it. But in hearing the voice God for what is the last hour of a 12 plus year journey, yeah, kind of hits me. Wowzers. I thought this show might go a little more slowly. No, it has flown by. And maybe, just maybe, it's because we've got full phone lines and we're trying to cycle through as much as we possibly can. I'm going to do football here, if you don't mind. And then the rest of the show, I will take your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio, again, also on our Facebook page. I hope that you enjoyed the Super Bowl. If you're an Eagles fan, you certainly did. This is redemption for you after what happened 2 years ago. Two seasons ago, 3 years ago. But to see the Eagles essentially have their wings clipped and, you know, crashed and burned at the end of last season, and to know that they had really lost their way. They kind of took a sojourn in the wilderness, if you will. The constant changing of coordinators, there was talk about dissension in the ranks, or at least tremors in the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, and a lot of different elements. And all of those seem to come out when you're losing, right? When you're winning, nobody cares about the relationships that are taking place in a locker room and where there might be dissension among the ranks. But in this particular case, it was easy to pile on Philly because they literally did fall. Well, not literally, figuratively, that'd be much scarier, fell off a cliff. And at the end of last season, went from being 10-1 to missing the playoffs. Then what? Well, Nick Sirianni got the right hires. Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio, who's a football lifer, an NFL lifer, brilliant at the defensive side of the ball. He gets hired to remake the defense, and they bring in Saquon Barkley. And while Saquon did not have a huge rushing game in his Super Bowl swan song, he did not have a huge performance. They wouldn't be in the Super Bowl without Saquon. More rushing yards in a season, including the playoffs, than any other running back in NFL history. Amazing what he accomplished this year, and he helped them to reestablish their identity. He takes pressure off Jalen Hurts, who ends up winning the Super Bowl MVP for what was a very efficient performance. And I do love, we're kind of starting at the end here, but I do love what Jalen had to say to the haters, if you will, after they'd secured the Vince Lombardi trophy.
I can't control what these people think, but if it takes all the hate and all the scrutiny and all the different opinions for me to be a world champion, then keep it coming.
That's right. Bring it on, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Congratulations to Jalen, to Saquon, to Nick Sirianni. Only 4 years in, he's already a Super Bowl champion. And really, the Eagles organization. We herald and talk about the Chiefs and what they've done. And it's impressive. Going back to 2019, the number of Super Bowls that they've been a part of were chasing the three-peat, though they wouldn't have had to pay Pat Riley to use that terminology. I guess disaster averted. No, just kidding. Don't have to deal with that problem. The fact is, we talk about them because of their consistency and their staying power. Well, shouldn't the Eagles be part of that conversation, at least in part? This was their third Super Bowl in 7 years, a second ring. And what Howie Roseman and the front office has done to continue filling the spots and creating depth. Think about it. Not just Saquon Barkley, drafting Cooper DeJean, who celebrated his 22nd birthday on Sunday. And while he was not ready with a birthday or touchdown celly, as the cool kids call it, he had a moment to remember.
It is 3rd and 16 for the Chiefs. Facing the staunchest defense of the season. Back goes Mahomes. He's rushing. He's looking. It's intercepted. It's intercepted. Running with the football to the 25. Is the Gene, and the Gene is in for a touchdown.
Happy birthday, Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean with a pick for a touchdown.
It was just our defense working together, just like we have all year. Fell into the right place, had to catch the ball, and just had some blocks out in front of me and go take it to the end zone. I mean, I didn't even have a celebration plan. I was just running around like crazy, like a little kid.
No, not going to say it. Although Ross Tucker did say earlier when he joined us on the show that he felt like Cooper looks about like he's 16. I think guys can say that. I can't say that, and nor do I want to. But he is a very brand new 22-year-old, and he celebrates with his first Super Bowl ring. That conversation with Stacey Dales on the NFL Network. So yeah, there were big moments for individuals in this game. But if you're looking for the MVPs, yes, Jalen Hurts won the official award. But if you're looking for the unit, the group of guys who set the tone and dominated to the point where the Chiefs never really got comfortable, never could settle into their game plan or any type of a rhythm, well, that's the defensive line. More sacks of Patrick Mahomes in a single game than at any other point in his career. And he's had some rough offensive lines in front of him. This wasn't blitzing either. A couple of times, maybe Fangio dials up extra pressure. No, actually, this is just the front four. They're massive. They're enormous. I think one of my favorite stats that we saw during the broadcast on Fox was early in the first quarter when they were showing the total weight of the front four, the defensive line for the Eagles, compared to the total weight of the D-line for Super Bowl I, and it was about 100 pounds higher, which is pretty funny. That speaks to the game and its evolution, but it also speaks to the type of weight these guys carry, and yet they're so athletic, and they move quickly and laterally and front to back, and it was a perfectly executed plan by that group. Here's something else that I think is probably the number one strategy when you're facing the Chiefs, although not as many teams can do it and can execute it the way the Eagles did. Patrick Mahomes can't score if he doesn't have the ball. And the Eagles a lot of what we've seen from them in these two winning seasons, kind of the sandwich around the 23 campaign, is that they want to play the ball control game. It's their identity. That means rushing the ball, sure, but it also means keeping the ball for long periods of time. And while I feel like that pick six with Cooper DeJean was a painful moment for the Chiefs, the next interception that led to the A.J. Brown touchdown right before half, the 24-0 deficit, that to me was the major turning point. Not that the Chiefs couldn't come back from it, but they didn't. They have the ball first to begin the third quarter. They get another first down. At that point, they had two. No joke. A single first down in the first half for the Chiefs. And then one first down to begin the third quarter. But they do nothing with their possession. They give it right back to Philadelphia. And what happens? Well, the Eagles keep it for the next 7 minutes. That's a problem. You sit on your rear ends during halftime. It's a longer halftime than is typical. You go out, you play, 3 minutes as an offense, and then you sit right on your rears on the bench again because the Eagles aren't going to give you the ball back. So the possession and the ball control, that all favored Philadelphia in a massive way. And then the defense, over and over, taking the best of what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs had to offer.
Fourth down and three. Can this Fangio defense stop them right here? Fourth and three. Mahomes back. He pumps. He fires. It's incomplete. Eagles take over and down. It's broken up by Avonte Maddox. Hurts in the gun. Trailed by Barkley. Hurts back. Looking. He is going deep. And it is caught. Touchdown!
The Slim Reaper.
Devontae Smith, 46 yards.
The Slim Reaper.
I do love his nickname. And Ryan and I were trying to effort this earlier, but what I did see reported online, I mean, I know, take it all with a grain of salt, that Devontae Smith is the first Alabama alum in the NFL to catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yep, Yahoo Sports.
Oh, Yahoo Sports. Thank you, Ryan.
Just made sure. I think it's true.
That's amazing. But also, we know that Devontae was a Heisman winner, and regardless of what people have said about his size and stature, he's been a great weapon alongside A.J. Brown, who also caught a touchdown, but minutes before that was throwing a hissy fit on the sidelines because he couldn't find his copy of Inner Excellence. So the interceptions early, that led to a pair of touchdowns for the Eagles in the first half, but also turning the ball over on downs, being unable to sustain a drive in the third quarter, and then one play later, it's a 46-yard strike from Jalen to Devontae. This was everybody in the pool. All the Eagles deserve credit for it, but the defense, notable. Six sacks, 11 quarterback hits. Mahomes constantly under pressure. Even if they didn't hit him, they bottled him up and made it tough for him to throw. How about his second interception where it's not an Eagle defender who makes contact, but it's an Eagle defender who pushes Joe Tooney back into Patrick Mahomes, who then is off balance when he makes the throw that gets picked off by Zach Bond. So there are a lot of moments here where the defense affected him, even if they didn't actually bring him to the ground. And the time of possession, 37 minutes for the Eagles, 23 for the Chiefs. So I'll say it again, you can't score touchdowns if you don't have the ball. And early on in the first quarter, the Chiefs had the ball for 3 minutes. And this was drastic, and it was total domination, and the Eagles earned every bit of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I love the way that all the offensive guys were pointing to the defense, right? And even though Jalen wins the MVP, you got to understand this game was built on the D.
Offense was able to score points, to take advantage of opportunities, you know, just enough to put points on the board, and then defense played their ass off. They played how they played all year, you know, and I truly believe offense wins game, but defense wins championships, and how that defense has been able to play, it's a great testament to them.
Big shout out to the defense. They came out and set the tone. We don't win that game without them. And, you know, offense, we came out, had a game plan. You know, we knew that, you know, the focus is going to be on the run game, and we took advantage of it. We took advantage of it in the pass game. Jalen came out, played big, and we took a team effort.
Yeah, congratulations to Saquon. He was pretty honest post-game about the fact that 6 months ago he hated the Eagles. But what an opportunity for him. And what a dream season. I know he wasn't the leading rusher in this game. And the Chiefs' number one goal on defense was clearly to stop Saquon Barkley, which they did relatively well. The problem is, like a dam that has multiple cracks, you plug a couple of holes and, well, then you've got to deal with Jalen Hurts running the ball or A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith on a fly route. I mean, it's all kinds of issues. Kenneth Gainwell, Dallas Goedert, Jahan Dotson, they all had chunk yardage, on different plays. And so the Eagles, they had layers and layers of options. And they had to know that Saquon Barkley was going to be the focal point of the Steve Spagnuolo defense. Brilliant offensive line protection for Jalen most of the time, too, to give him an opportunity to wait, go through his various progressions, figure out the smart play, and then give him time to get a receiver who was heading downfield, too. So it was domination in the trenches, but the defensive line was the most impressive. And congratulations to Nick Sirianni. Remember, they were 2-2 to start the season and won 16 of their last 17.
I think at the end of the day, you saw this team embrace adversity throughout the entire year. Now, it's hard to say that when you won 16 out of your last 17, but there was adversity. There's adversity constantly. And I think we did a good job of embracing that, the ups and downs of a season, and getting better from the things that we went through.
According to A.J. Brown, again, he had his copy of Inner Excellence, misplaced it for a second there, got a little upset, caught a touchdown, all is right with the world again. He told NFL Network he was sure that they were going to score big on Kansas City.
We knew what we're capable of, and we just had to go out and just do our thing, you know? And we said if we execute, nobody's on the field is going to mess with us. And the entire team came out with that DNA, came out with that mindset.
The last we knew, they had taken down all the poles in the celebrations in downtown Philadelphia. It's their version of carrying off the goalposts. I do hope they were safe. I have no idea if they're still partying hardy in the streets of the city of brotherly love, but pretty impressive, this performance, which meant that there was more time to pay attention to halftime show, commercials, the food. At my house, buffalo chicken dip. A Texas chili. My husband's been bragging about it for a year and a half, so finally got to taste it. It was terrific. And then cornbread to go along with. I'm trying to think. We had cookies and milk for our dessert. While the Chiefs were getting roasted like s'mores over a fire, we were having cookies and milk for our dessert. So hope you enjoyed it. Again, congratulations to Philadelphia. This was a no-doubter, too big to rig. We'll hear a little bit from the Chiefs, and then we're going to get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And 10 Chiefs. Mahomes back. He is grabbed and he is brought down again. This time it is Jordan Davis getting a hold of Mahomes. Mahomes is really taking the beating. The Chiefs line up. They know that the clock is not their friend. They trail 37-6 with under 10 to go in the fourth quarter. Mahomes is back. He's hit. He's hit. He fumbles the football. A fight for the ball and the Eagles have it.
Yes, they do.
They hit Mahomes. It was Jalen Carter who broke down on Mahomes and smashed the ball away.
They played great. There's no way around it. I mean, they played great from start to finish. They got after it. Defensive line played really well. The DBs played well to complement them and linebackers as well. And so, like I said, I mean, I can't turn the ball over early in the game when it's not going our way. And I'll have to learn from that and try to be better the next opportunity that I hopefully get.
The Chiefs and Eagles. And we have you covered on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It helps if you turn on your mic. You would think after 12 plus years, 25 years in the industry, that'd be the first thing I would do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There goes the perfect show. Just kidding. It was gone a long time ago. Patrick Mahomes responding to 6 sacks, 11 QB hits, 17 Eagles points off the 3 Mahomes turnovers. And he absolutely took the blame for the loss. And he was asked about how much this hurt compared to the Tampa loss. If you remember, offensive line was also the weakness in that game as well. Now, he did say they were confident till the end. They felt like they could come back because of the situations they've been in before. But yeah, for him, this one had a little extra sting to it because he was shouldering the blame.
Yeah, I threw two interceptions in their end. I mean, I threw a pick six and I threw a pick that they returned to the 5 yard line and they scored immediately after. So when you give a team 14 points, especially a really good football team, a Super Bowl football team, then not a lot of good things happen. And so that's why I take ownership in this loss more than probably any loss in my entire career, is because I put us in a bad spot. And even though we put up some stats at the end of the game, those stats didn't really matter.
They all hurt. You get this far. You battled your tail off to get this far. Very, very hard to do. And, you know, we spent a lot of time doing this. And it's not a hobby, right? So we're in it the whole way, and spent a lot of hours doing it as players, as coaches. So it's going to hurt. They all hurt when you get to this level and these things happen. Three-peat aside or any of that stuff, that you know, you get this far and you don't play as well as you want to, it hurts.
I think there was a lot of things going wrong. Can't just say that it was just you know, the O-line or anything like that. I think it was a cumulative of everything, you know, not really going our way today.
Travis Kelce, he was stoic and relatively succinct and once again facing questions about his future, which kind of surprised me. I guess knowing media like I do, it shouldn't surprise me. 4 catches for 39 yards, didn't have any catches in the first half, was pretty frustrated with himself, felt like he had a couple that he could have snagged and wasn't able to. DeAndre Hopkins had a big drop as well, and it was interesting to see his comments and hear his comments after the game as he was getting asked about his first Super Bowl.
He's human. You know, so I think you guys see that he's human. They converted off our mistakes. And so, you know, he's a human being, man. And I guess the world got to see that.
He's human, not I'm human. I'm sure they were asking about Mahomes. It was one of the worst games you're ever going to see from Mahomes, but also in the first half, I'm not sure I can recall a half as bad as this one for the Chiefs. Here are some of the numbers that outline how dominant, well, lopsided this was, dominant the Eagles were. 179 yards in the first half to 23. What? That's hard to do, even if you're the Panthers. 23 total yards. That's hard to do if you're the Raiders. Ryan just laughed at me. I don't want to pick on the Panthers. That's hard to do if you're the Giants when you don't have Saquon Barkley. 23 total yards in that first half. One measly first down. They had more turnovers than first downs in the first half. That is not a recipe for success. 0-for-6 on third down before the break. But 2-1 time of possession, had 3 rushing yards. It was bleak. It was really bleak. But I did think they had a shot to come back until the A.J. Brown touchdown. I felt like that was demoralizing. At that point, the Eagles were not going to let him off the mat. Everybody knows the Chiefs' reputation. Everybody knows what they can do. And so they just continued with the game plan. They made his life miserable. They really didn't give him much time with the football. And credit the Eagles because they kept the pressure on. They kept their pedal to the metal, so to speak. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, online at A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's see. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls here. Lisa is in Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, so I wanted to say, first of all, congratulations on the new endeavors you'll be getting. And I'm so happy for you. I'm sad for all of us. You've been with me for quite a while, overnights, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
But I'm so happy for you guys and your family.
Thank you. Well, I'm not dying. I'll still be in radio somewhere.
No, you're not dying. Not at all. I can't wait. I can't wait for the new one. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
Looking forward to it.
Just so you know, I say that, but then earlier I was saying goodbye to a colleague who works on one of our local stations in New York. And he said to me, he grabbed my hand. He said to me, long life, have a long life. I was like, I'm not dying. So that's why I say that.
Yeah,
he actually did say that to me. It was a little bit disconcerting.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I was very surprised with the game. I mean, all along, up until like the third quarter, and they scored that bomb of a touchdown, the Eagles did, I was, you know, I was saying, score every time you get the ball. Don't let up. Because we all know Kansas City, they come back. So I was really surprised, but I was very happy for the people in Philadelphia, for Saquon Barkley, for everybody. I think they had a great season, and I think they earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way that they came together, the lessons they learned from the last Super Bowl loss. Nick Sirianni is a much better coach. I think that's obvious. He's got better people around him, too, with Vic Fangio. Kellen Moore is unlikely to stay. He's headed to New Orleans. That was pretty much the talk post-game. So they'll have another offensive coordinator. What will that be, four in four seasons for Jalen Hurts? Wowzers.
Hey, they're going to catch up with the Browns.
Well, right. Correct. But in this case, at least the leadership is still the same.
Exactly. So yeah, they got a great team. They ought to be the favorite for next season already.
Oh, just stop it.
It looks so good. It's in February. The last two games.
Yeah, but it's February. Let's not talk about next season right now.
Oh, I know. But still.
Thank you,
Let's
Lisa.
Okay, good luck, Amy.
Thank you. Have a great day. No, stop it with the way too early Super Bowl odds for next season. No. I can't deal. Some of my favorite other elements, so extra elements around the Super Bowl 59. I did really enjoy the Madden Cruiser Bayou Adventure with Bill Belichick. And Ryan told me he watched some of it too, but your family was not interested?
My family doesn't like Bill Belichick.
Uh-oh.
Original Jets fans, very salty about what happened. The voodoo scene was very cool.
The voodoo was funny with Ty Law, right? I also really liked his conversations with Michael Strahan. And I thought it was also very special that they walked to the monument and laid down flowers on the what will soon be the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. I can't get over that. But to go back and look at this event that forever changed the people of New Orleans and the complexion of New Orleans. That was powerful too. The some of the funny stuff with, at the beginning, he was with Strahan at the beginning. There was something else. I'll think about it. But it was cool to see him in different. Oh, Ed Reed. The stuff with Ed Reed was awesome because Ed Reed's local and got to win a Super Bowl there. Tyrann Mathieu, same thing. So there are a lot of special guests, and I thought it was really neat to see him with the Madden Cruiser. And then the reaction to the Cruiser, too, is kind of fun. I don't know when he's done with his media stuff. Like, I'm not really sure if it's coming to an end or if he's going to keep it up while he's coaching.
I hope it's never over.
I don't know how that's possible, but I have really enjoyed seeing this other side of Bill Belichick, though usually we saw him for decades in nothing but a hoodie, and now he's wearing a suit and tie for all of this stuff, which is, it's kind of interesting. Let's see, a couple of other things. Love the Tom Cruise intro, walking through some of the football history. I thought that was awesome. Harry Connick Jr., terrific. The marching bands on the field pregame. And then, of course, the Lady Gaga tribute with the NFL on Bourbon Street to honor the victims of the terror attack on New Year's Eve. And if you missed it, you probably didn't, but right before the coin flip, they had first responders from New Orleans that were there on the field, and each of them were holding photos of their, well, the victims. I don't think that they were connected, but you also had family members out there. So the first responders were holding photos of those that were lost, and then there were family members that were out there on the field. And in some cases, you could still see the grief on their faces, but I appreciate the gesture by the NFL. Because that wasn't an NFL thing. That was a college football. Well, it was the night before a college football game there, the Sugar Bowl. And yet the NFL took the time to make sure that those victims were remembered and the first responders were honored. All right, let's do one more quick phone call. Dave is in San Francisco. Welcome to After Hours. Yes, my very last show. We get a sleeper. My very last show. Now, see, this is a good omen, Ryan. I feel like the last time we had a snorer, you were with us, too.
I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't. Okay, well, this is my gift to you.
Do we have, like, symbols?
Parting gift to you. No, let's just let the man sleep. I mean, he only called a little while ago. It's not like he's been on the phone for a long time. But to be fair, it is 2:30 in San Francisco.
That's not that late.
No. Maybe he had a lot of food for a Super Bowl party. Let's try John in Massachusetts. Let's hope he's not driving. I mean, driving,
hi,
sleeping.
How you doing, Amy?
Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
I First time caller, but I've been listening to talk shows for 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And I never call. I called five times, but I got in an accident 6 years ago, and I can't sleep, so I'm up all night.
Oh, well, we're happy to keep you company.
I started listening to you, and I wanted to wish you luck on your new endeavor, whatever it is.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show, and you were talking commercials, and you didn't mention, you mentioned a lot of them.
I did.
But the one you didn't mention was, maybe I'm a softie, was my favorite one, the little girl on the potato farm.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, that was so sweet.
She put the little scarecrow. And then she watered it, and the rain came, and then she got the potato and brought it to the big truck. I thought
that was... That was a Lay's commercial, right? That was awesome.
Yep. That was very well... Yeah, the Lay's. All right, I forgot. That was very well done, I thought.
Yeah, it was to highlight the fact that it's American farmers that are putting forth the potatoes for the Lay's chips. I thought that was very well done. You're right.
Yeah, and the little girl was cute. And then on the Super Bowl, too, I had a suggestion, not suggestion. I wish you did it because I listen to I'm in Boston my whole life.
Yay.
So I used to
I can't tell.
People can tell by the way I talk. Christian Fourier, who used to be on the radio here, he did 24 hours straight on every talk show for raise money for, for a disease.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you should have did to go out 24 hours straight.
Well, as much as I appreciate the suggestion and also the idea that you think that I would be able to manage 24 hours in a row, four is long enough.
And
12 years. John, 12 years
That's
is long,
a long
enough.
Time. Oh, yeah, nice. I'm up all night now. So I like I said, I listen to this show. But I'm obviously a Boston fan, but Rob Gronkowski, I get aggravated when people compare Travis Kelce to him because Kelce's great, but to me, he's a wide receiver. He's not a tight end.
Kelce. Interesting. I mean, I think that Kelce's.
He can't block.
That's not true. He blocked for Patrick Mahomes getting into the end zone of the AFC Championship. Did you not see that block?
Today, I watched him have a horrible game.
Yeah, he did not have a good game.
He's a wide receiver, and to compare him to Gronk, I think is. Oh, it's just nuts. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, he's the best tight end ever.
I mean, they played the game different ways, for sure. And Bill Belichick was brilliant in using Gronk, too. And when he had those kind of two tight end systems, he was brilliant at that.
Right, that was big. No, Kelce's great, and he's probably going to keep playing. He's a great, but like I said, to me, he's a wide receiver, not a tight end. But whatever, it's a call.
Whatever.
And all right, so I had to call you. I'm glad I got through and waited
a
while. And good luck on whatever you do next. I'm sure I'll find you.
I hope so. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call in Massachusetts. Yes. From New England, those calls mean a lot to me. At A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, yes, I will keep in touch. 855-212-4227. My understanding is producer Pete is going to join us for a couple of minutes after the break. And then we'll try to squeeze in a few more phone calls. Maybe I'll have something to say. I didn't prepare any remarks. I talk for a living, so I didn't prepare any special remarks. I might take one last photo. Here's our latest sports update. Ooh, and here's our last sports update on After Hours.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Earlier, we had a special guest, a colleague who wanted to, now he could barely speak, but he wanted to make sure he called in to say he was part of the last edition of After Hours. And while we haven't had producer Pete on the show, he had far more important things to do during Super Bowl week. He apparently has far more important things to do on this Monday as well, but he is at least up early to spend a couple of minutes with us as we head up toward the top of the hour. Pete, have you finished with all of your important tasks?
Yes, a few more, and then we're good to go. But happy to be here, and it's I can't believe it.
I can't either.
I really can't. This is like I said on social media yesterday. My time was short on the show, but I was always very enamored by your passion for the business. And that's something that you can't teach. And I hope for the best for you when you in your next venture.
Thank you.
And it's gonna be different around there without you. And we'll see what the next few days bring.
Well, beyond our brief partnership on the show, which I do appreciate that you're willing to jump in and work before the decision was made, though of course you knew that it was possible and you still jumped in on the show. You and I are two of the original employees of what was the CBS Sports Radio Network, now Infinity, going back to January 1st of 2013. There aren't very many of us left. We can count them, I think, on one and a half hands.
Yeah, but maybe just one hand now.
Right,
yeah.
Maybe just one hand now that I'm departing. But we've been friends long before we were partners on the show. And I appreciate the fact that you have brought stability to all the shows that you've worked on, and also humor. My favorite moment with producer Pete ever is when we did, I think it was a couple years ago, the Chubby Bunny World Championship, and Sean Marash, who's now with our New York affiliate, nearly died on the air, and all I remember is Pete howling.
I can't!
Every single time I hear Pete cackling like that, it brings me great joy, because Sean could have died while Pete and I were howling with laughter. But the way that Pete laughed, he just wild abandoned like, that's my favorite Pete moment ever.
Well, it was one of my favorite moments ever. If anyone knows Sean Marash, we're always laughing at something he is doing, and we always know that he will come out of it unscathed at the end.
He bragged for weeks about how he was going to get double-digit marshmallows into his cheeks, and as it turned out, he barely got to eight, and then he upchucked all over the console. So yeah, we deserve to laugh at him. He had that coming. But great highlights. Also preserved on YouTube, never to disappear into the information superhighway. Right, we're going to preserve it.
We promise to not let that go.
Right.
No way whatsoever.
Well, and we will remain friends beyond this network. And it's been great to work with you. I'm thankful for your support and for the fact that we were able to collaborate for a short time. Pete, you're the best.
Oh, well, I appreciate that very much. And yes, we will talk soon. And I just all the best on this last few minutes of your show. And,
thank you.
We all appreciate the 12 years you gave to the network. It's unbelievable. I think when we hit tomorrow, when we hit Wednesday and Thursday, it'll sink in even more.
Yeah, probably will. A wide range of emotions. I didn't expect to be sad because I've mostly just been powering through these last 6 weeks. I will say that the last 6 weeks have felt like 6 months. Getting to the end and knowing. But, the overnights have been taxing. As you know, you did early morning. Now you're doing overnight for the good of your family. The last 6 weeks have been a lot. At the same time, I did find myself surprisingly teary on Sunday morning. I did not expect that, because I've been anticipating the end. I've been good to go. And then all of a sudden, I was up early with the dogs on Sunday morning, and my husband came down the stairs after sleeping in, and I just started crying. I was like, "What? This is so weird. I wasn't expecting this." But I think mostly just because I put so much into it.
Of course.
And for that, I have no regrets as I walk away. So we'll stay in touch, of course.
Yes, of course. And all the best. And we'll talk soon, all right? And,
yes, of course.
And all the After Hours fans out there, very appreciative of everything that you guys have brought to Amy and her show last 12 years. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Pete. Even though Pete ditched us in the last week, don't worry about that. I won't hold it against you. It's totally
okay.
Fine.
Thank you.
All right, Pete. Talk soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
He did, though. Don't let him pretend like he did not ditch us in the final week of After Hours. But he's right. The After Hours audience has been terrific. I am not the same person or host I was when I started here. My first show was officially January 4th of 2013. And it was a big leap for me. Best career move I ever made. I would have to in any talk about this network launching, I would always have to acknowledge Mark Chernoff and Eric Spitz because they, I'll use my air quotations, took a chance on me, but they believed in me. And from the very beginning, they said to me, we don't want you to be one of the guys. We don't want you to be like other radio hosts. We just want you to be Amy. And the power of those words for me really did unlock just a new confidence and feeling like I had the support. There's nothing like it. For those of you who work in a situation where you know you have people behind you who support you, who believe in you, or just family and friends who believe in you, that's extremely powerful. And from the very beginning, that's what they wanted me to do, was just be Amy. And I know we've had some epic fails. I mean, I am a little bit like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, right? Where I tell you, I obsess over the mistakes and the fails more than I ever celebrate the successes. But over the course of the last 12 years, and I wrote about this in my recent blog, I've learned so many lessons about how to be a better host, how to connect with people, why radio is unique. And I know a lot of people are asking, what's next? I don't know what's next. I am exploring different opportunities. I'm not in a huge rush to jump right back into something else because it's been 25 straight years of nonstop radio. But radio is all I've ever wanted to do since I was 16 years old, and I will not be gone for long. I have far too much to say to be gone for very long. So thank you. I'm overwhelmed by the response over the weekend. I spent way too much time on my phone, on social media over the weekend, just trying to keep up with everything from colleagues from long ago to coworkers now, and over your messages of how the show helped you get through a difficult time in your life, or how the show was an encouragement during the pandemic, or how you feel like you made a friend or a little sister because of the way that we were connected through the show. All of that means so much to me. I can't adequately put it into words, though I will continue to try. So please follow me. My social media will stay the same for now, at A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page too, though I'm probably likely to do more on Twix, and also my blog, which is, the address is on both of those social media sites, Amy Lawrence PXP. Once I breathe, take a breath, get through some of these first few emotions and try to get my sleep schedule back on track, I will definitely share more on my blog because I've got more to say and more reasons to thank you and be grateful. So we'll talk soon. Absolutely. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!